Our first public hearing is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 1, by amending the definitions of dwelling, single family, dwelling multifamily, and family.
Mr. Chairman, we previously provided each of you a copy of this ordinance. Does anybody need one?
Anybody good?
Okay. And I believe Mr. Robertson was going to take the lead on this. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll give you all some background on this because it's something that's been in the works for a while. It's a collaborative effort that actually had its start from several different... That's right, I'll stay here just as well. That had its start from several different points. One of those was the recent campground applications, which pointed out what I believe was an unintended distinction between manufactured homes and dwellings. Under our code about separation distances, you recall that sort of one of the unintended things that came up was there's a 400-foot distance from dwellings, and when he looked at the old definition of what a dwelling was, it excluded manufactured homes from the definition of dwellings. So that was one issue that started us looking at this. A second was a review of state and federal law, and as well as that, directives from HUD and others about fair housing, including the recent fair housing training that the county has participated in. I know you all have participated in that, as well as county council and all staff. With regard to this ordinance, there have been many people involved in drafting or reviewing the proposed ordinance. Certainly I have. Mr. Moore and Mr. Sharp have from Moore and Rutt. Stephanie Hansen, who I know you know has been involved in all the fair housing components of things with the county. Ms. Nellman and Mr. Whaley from our community development office. Brandy Nellman's our fair housing compliance officer with the county. We've also involved the Delaware State Housing Authority and also the Office of State Planning Coordination. And with regard to those two agencies, they actually both commended our efforts after reviewing sort of what everybody had come up with for the proposed ordinance. So the language that you're looking at is based on federal law, particularly with regard to the definition of dwelling, and state law with regard to groups that can reside in a dwelling. That being said, one of the things that we wanted to be careful about was creating unintended consequences of the ordinance change. Now, when you get a change like this, you got to look at the rest of the code to make sure that, you know, changing one part doesn't have some additional effect that nobody thought of on another part, kind of like what we found with the campgrounds. I think that was a result years ago of an unintended consequence that nobody thought of. So just to be clear at the outset, because this came up at council when we introduced the ordinance, let me say that the amendment brings manufactured homes back into the definition of dwelling. There is no distinction between a dwelling and a manufactured home, mobile home, et cetera. Putting that into the context of campgrounds, this means that future campground conditional use application campsites must be 400 feet from the nearest dwelling, whether it's a stick-built, a barracka-style home, or single-wide or double-wide manufactured home. And I say future campgrounds, that's assuming that this ordinance gets passed.
Clarification, Mr. Robbins?
Yeah.
So that would not impact a campground that was approved, which is Rehoboth Shores, and would not impact on the two that are pending before the commission now?
That's correct. Well, I don't know that they're pending before the council. Certainly, though, and I don't recall the conditions that the commission put on those without looking at them, but, I mean, that could be adjusted through a condition as well, you know, if they wanted to. But the ordinance itself wouldn't apply retroactively to those.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, the definition of dwelling is based on federal law, and it's also included in a consent decree that was recently signed off on by the county and HUD. For zoning purposes, the term family, when you look at it across the, you know, the country that in jurisdiction is dealt like this, the term family is given way to a more broad definition of who can live together in a dwelling. As a result, the amendment takes the separate definition of family out of our zoning code. And instead, it just lists who can live in a dwelling, and it kind of groups those based on what we've been told by our Delaware State Housing Authority and the statutes. I'm not going to read the proposed ordinance. I can summarize it. So sort of these groups are one or two people related by blood or marriage with any number of their children, whether that's natural, foster, or stepchildren, two single parents or guardians with any number of their children, natural, foster, or stepchildren, a group of no more than four unrelated people, and a group residential facility licensed by the state of Delaware serving 10 or fewer individuals with disabilities on a 24-hour basis as the term disability is defined under state law. And I'll tell you, that comes straight out of the Delaware Code. And then one or two elderly or disabled persons who own a dwelling, plus one or two people related by blood or marriage, and their children, again, step, foster, or by blood. So when you have those groups, that ties back into the definition of a single-family dwelling. So a single-family dwelling, you can have one of those groups in a single-family dwelling. A multifamily dwelling, sort of just like now, you can have two or more of those groups living in a multifamily dwelling. So that's the essential change in the ordinance. Now, the one thing I do want to point out, that there is a next step in this, again, under federal law and the federal and cases that have dealt with fair housing. Now, what we're looking at, sort of looking ahead, is establishing a means to determine reasonable accommodations for persons with disabilities and others. I'll give you an example. Under principles of fair housing, it may be appropriate to vary some of these requirements or yard or setback requirements or even others in a given situation to address an individual's particular needs. We've had extensive discussions about that, and again, we've looked to other jurisdictions, but I just wanted to point out that's kind of the next step in this. So that it's what we want to try to do is, with those reasonable accommodations, look at ways that we can come up again with standards so it's not so ad hoc dealing with folks that have disabilities that need some accommodations. So that's where we are. As I said, it's been a long and lengthy process that a lot of people looked at the proposed ordinance. I'm pleased that what we did is run it by some of the state agencies, and they were pleased with how it came out. So I think you have a good ordinance in front of you. Again, as Chairman Wheatley mentioned, this body makes a recommendation, so the ultimate decision will be with County Council. So, and if you have any questions, just let me know.
All right, gentlemen, any discussion up here?
A couple questions, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And looking at the second whereas, and it talks about or being revised to allow more than four unrelated individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when we go to section four, number three, it says a group of not more than four persons. So on the one hand, it's saying that it's being revised to allow more than four, but that particular number says you can't.
Yeah, well, and that the way the it does, because it talks about the residential or group home type facilities where it's up to 10 if they fall under those state guidelines. So it expands it that way.
And if...
because we didn't have that exception at all in our code, which was different from what state law said.
And then, but it only expands it if you're in that. You can go to more than four, but you have to be under the criteria.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then again, looking at number three, the same one, section four, number three, a group of not more than four persons. So we have a home where there's two cousins, they could have three other people living with them, and they'd still be okay.
Oh, number three.
Number three, a group of not more, not necessarily related by blood or marriage. So a couple cousins could then have assorted numbers of additional people living with them.
Well, no, I think, you know, the situation would be number one or number two. You know, that sort of defines the one or two persons with their children. And then the four is whether they're related by blood or not, and they don't fall under section one or two. So you're capped at four on that. I don't think you have cousins, and then you get three more people under that section three.
And then what impact would all this have on our group houses that we have in the Dewey Beach area? I, for one, many years ago, lived in a group house during the summer, and there were 20 members. Big house, fortunately, but a lot of people.
Well, it's going to depend.
You were in the big house?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Dewey Beach is going to be governed by Dewey Beach's code, but in that situation, I would say that they would, they're not a group residential facility licensed and approved by a state agency, so that doesn't get them up to the 10 number. They're still going to be governed by the four-person number in that situation.
Because we do have that stretch of the highway that's in the county and not in either Rehoboth or Dewey, and I know there's houses in there that the only way they're affordable to the folks that are renting it, and the only way the people that own it can afford to make the mortgage payments is they have to have a lot of features.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and
is there any differentiation between a permanent residence and a temporary and a rental? So I think what you're talking about are group rentals.
Right, they're there for a season.
Yeah.
Not year round.
Yeah, and those under the cases that have dealt with fair housing, you know, they talk about them being dwellings. When you get into the hotels, motor lodges, and tourist houses, those are exempt from this definition of dwelling. So, but if it's a single family home, you know, I mean, and it's being rented, it's still going to technically come under this. So, but it would have before too. I mean, that's not really a change, you know, because it was before it was a single family dwelling, and then you looked at a definition of what a family was, and so if you had 10 people that were unrelated, it still was issues with our code and how that was being run.
And that situation isn't unique to Dewey Beach or Delaware.
Oh, right, right.
You got North Carolina, you know, and other coastal areas, and you have these humongous homes, and they're typically rented by a number of families together as a group. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. To anyone else?
Yeah, we have some campsites that there are actually full-time residents that reside in these RV campgrounds. Those full-time campers are not, those are not dwellings, right? Those are, even though they're resided in full-time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to depend on the nature of each one. But if it's a manufactured home, you know, if you're saying it's more of an RV type situation, I don't think that's a dwelling.
RV campgrounds, but yeah. Some of them do have full-time residents. Yeah. Not a lot, but some of them do. And then since we're calling mobile homes dwellings now, does that affect the property assessment?
No, because I looked at this after council was introduced, and manufactured homes are still, they're considered dwellings for purposes of this, but they're still treated also as manufactured homes for assessment and also for where they can be located. When you go through all the different zoning districts, for example, you know, it talks about whether manufactured homes can be located on certain acreage or in certain zoning districts. That distinction still exists. So whether or not it's a manufactured home or a dwelling doesn't affect the assessment. So, and same thing really with how it's titled in a lot of cases. You know, a lot of them still have DMV titles, and there's all that issue in state code and county code that won't be affected by this.
Following up with what Mr. Ross was bringing up about the modular mobile homes, or is that under section 2 dwelling? It doesn't make a distinction between a mobile home and a modular home or manufactured home or stick built. It just says any building structure, a portion thereof, which is occupied as or designed for occupancy as a residence. You know, and I contend that, you know, mobile homes are. That's what all many folks on Long Neck would contend. Those are homes.
Yeah.
So, how does that?
Well, I think that there's two components to that. First, I'll say that definition, you know, even the part about lake vacant land, which is offered for sale or lease, that comes straight out of Title 42 of the United States Code. I think where we get into it is, I hear what you're saying, but we're also looking at, was this a campground that was supposed to not be occupied permanently as residences?
Right.
And so we've got a little bit of an issue there, you know, under the code, is it being used the way it was approved as a campground on the one hand? Because I would contend that, to Mr. Ross's point, if it's an RV, that wasn't intended to be used as a residence or a dwelling. It's transient. At the same time, you know, we've got people that are doing that in campgrounds, using them as residents, which maybe the campground wasn't originally laid out to be a permanent residence. So, you know, it kind of gets into the enforcement, it gets into the interpretation, and it gets into what federal law says all at the same time.
You're saying if it's in a campground, it's zoned for campground, it's a camper. It's not a campground.
Well,
it's a mobile home and it's a dwelling.
I would say with regard to this, how we go forward with whether single family dwellings are permitted, you know, in land use applications, this is what's going to govern. On the operation of a campsite by a campground owner, they may have fair housing issues because they've allowed recreational vehicles to become residents, and then they've got to comply by all the fair housing laws. I haven't looked at it from, you know, the campground side of things, but this is more going forward with, you know, what a single family dwelling is, what a multifamily dwelling is, and who can live there.
All this because of a 400-foot setback. Is there any discussion of why we need a 400-foot setback to start with?
That's a different ordinance.
Yeah, that's a different ordinance, but...
Probably an easier
one. It bears discussing. It does bear
discussing.
Football
field on a third, that's a lot.
It does bear discussing.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Anyone else on the commission have a question or comment at this time?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Is there anyone here that would that has an interest in this ordinance and would like to speak? Yes, sir. Come on up. And give us your name. You may have the floor.
My name is Jim Truitt, Rehoboth Beach. Mm-hmm. I'm a property owner in Rehoboth Beach out in Country Club.
Yes, sir.
I also own a 40-acre manufactured home community mm-hmm. called Silverview Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in business for 40 years, May 1.
Okay.
So when I looked at this thing here and with the experience I've had, I was kind of shocked at this. And I, as I got into more information on it and went from Lawrence Lang to Shane, and finally today I got up with Brandy Newman,
mm-hmm.
I was also shocked to find out that this thing is part of the settlement of the voluntary comprehensive agreement. Mm-hmm. Doesn't spell it out in there, but then when you read down into the bowels of the agreement, it comes out in there. And the way I understand, and I wanted to get another understanding this afternoon from Vince Robertson, but he didn't return my call. But in any case, after hearing that, and then what I thought, this is the presentation I want to make. I see a lot of problems with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be going back and forth between houses and manufactured homes.
Okay.
The thing that bothers me is with all these children coming over the border now, we none know where that's going to be, whether it's going to be cut off, it's going to keep on going, and we're going to have all these children come in, and they're going to be foster children. When you see foster children in here, then if the government starts paying people to handle foster children like the state does now, there's places you have, you could get into... and I'm assuming this, that this is for all current housing in Sussex County. This isn't new housing or proposed housing. I'm assuming that. I couldn't find the answer out from anybody. But this would come right in and affect your house, my house. In my development, there's 276 homes in the country club. And we got homes in there from $5 million, $2 million, down to $200,000. So somebody could come in down the street and have foster children or have, you know.
Well, Mr. Truitt, they can do that now. There's no law preventing you from having foster children in a home now.
But what it is when you get paid.
They get paid now.
But the country club and my mobile home park.
If somebody wants to foster children in the country club, they're going to have them.
Any amount, right? Okay.
Any amount that's allowed by law, yeah.
Okay. Well, any amount that's going to be by law, so next door it comes to you and where you're living, if you're not out on 10 acres somewhere, they come and they live next door to you, then you're going to have a lot of things come up that's going to make it different for your neighborhood. When I bought my lot in the country club in 78,
but there's nothing that now that's any different about whether or not you can have foster children. Your neighbor, my neighbor, you, me, we can have foster children right now.
As many as you want?
I suspect so, yes.
You can have as many as you want here. No, it's not that way.
It's not that way.
In other words, it's four or more unrelated people. That's
no,
what's in
foster
there.
Children are considered children under the definition, so they're unlimited.
In the county definition now, it spells that out?
On the definition we're contemplating, yeah. It does, yes.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
And I believe it does now, too.
That's why I'm saying it's a...
Same. That's no change. That's no change. That's always been the rule. Foster children are considered the same as natural children.
So there's no change here. In other words, if you had 2 or 10 before, you could have whatever you wanted the same way with people with disabilities?
You can have 2 dozen today, or you can have 2 dozen under this ordinance. That part of it's not changing. That's not changing.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. Hmm.
I didn't what the code says right now.
Yeah.
That's what this says.
I know, and I'm not finding fault with it.
If you're reading that into that, that's something you're reading into it. But here, let me tell you my problems.
I don't think I'm reading anything into it. I think I'm reading the code. I think it says that you can have foster kids.
Oh, this code right now does say that. I agree with you. The other code doesn't, and the code that Kent County has doesn't. And unlimited, the Newcastle County code doesn't. Where I go in Florida in the winter, it doesn't. This is the new shiny toy that, because of this settlement that we've had, that comes and is going to change us here and the state of Delaware. Little by little, it's going to change America over, and we're one of the first ones because we had this voluntary compliance agreement where this mistake was made by the commission, was made by the county council, and then they settled for the $750,000. And this is part of the whole thing, saying we were lacking or whatever we were doing.
Well, I was there.
I don't know that it has anything to do with it, because it's what, regardless of all that, it's what state and federal law state for this, the definition
okay.
of dwelling. And
well, here's the problems I see with it, okay? I see with this, when you bring in, you have people and you got it. We have a problem in Rehoboth Beach Yacht and Country Club now with seasonal people, 10 or 12 in a house. The county doesn't do a thing about it. They won't do a thing about it. They've been there. The guy tells them, don't come in. That's it. We have to live with that. You know, 10, 12, 15 in a house in the summer. And then in the winter, probably 10. And if your house is next to it, then it's going to bring the value of your house down with all that traffic there, all those people there. There's not, when you approve these subdivisions and that, you have a certain amount of parking. All this thing is in there. Then you get too many people per acre. Because we're talking about foster children, disabled people, then the precedent's set where it can go right over in to be extended. This is where I see it going in a period of time, which then takes my manufactured home community, where I have about 4 per acre in there. We don't have the parking for this type of stuff. And when you get down to the lower level, like the manufactured home community, this is where, when this goes in, this is going to be. And it's going to be a problem where we're going to have a problem with the traffic. We're going to have the parking, children's safety. All this stuff is going to come into play. Now, you take the mobile homes. Now, mine, my park has sewer and water. Okay, in the county, we're talking about the whole county. And I realize, like you said earlier, all the municipalities don't have that. Yes, that's their problem. That's what they're dealing with. But we're having to address this now because of this voluntary comprehensive agreement. This is what's brought it all about. So if you get into a manufactured home community that's out here in the county that doesn't have the county sewer, doesn't have county water, and we had about 100 acres of those, and I sold them all off in a GR, Fieldwood and Truvale, down at Midway. They still have the sewer there now, but they got their own wells. But if you have your own septic system and you got your own wells, then you have all these people come in. And then if you're a park owner or you're an individual, the septic system, which I've been through this, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the effluent comes to the top and it won't perk, then you've got a health department problem. But these people are allowed to live there. So this causes a problem on a lot of these park owners that do not have central water. I mean, that have to have their own septic and all that. So when you get how many people are living in a place, years ago, it used to be the way Denrec did the septic system approvals, two per bedroom. So if you had a three-bedroom home, you had six people. That's what they gauge the affluent, probably 115, 20 gallons a day per family of two. So in the county, we're talking about the whole county. When you get into this, there's going to be some problems there. And then the size of the homes, the mobile homes, that's the lowest level of living in the county other than campgrounds. Lowest echelon. And you've got single wides. I have a 10 by 45 home in my park. So that park, I mean, that home there, there's no restrictions on that. Those people could have 10 disability people there.
Are there any restrictions on that now?
On that now?
Yeah. Is there anything that says you can't have, that limits the number of people you can have in a home?
Right now, the way the code is, right now it says four unrelated people having the same culinary restrictions. That's what it is. That's what it is in Kent County.
Not under code, sir. In your HOA, okay, mm-hmm. No matter what the subdivision, you can have your own HOA rules. You can have a rule that says you can't rent your home in a certain subdivision. In your trailer park, as long as it's across all classes, you can say no more than so many people per square foot, okay? You can put a cap on the number of people in your trailer park. As long as it's across all classes in your trailer park, you can do that. The county's code just says that these are allowable. It doesn't say you have to take them in your trailer park. You can make a rule in your trailer park as long as it's uniformly enforced.
Well, if this passes, that doesn't take my HOA or my rules and regulations. I don't have restrictions. It has no effect on them at all is what you're saying.
You still have your HOA rules. If the HOA says you can't rent your house in your subdivision, well, then guess what? You can't rent your house in your subdivision. You bought the place knowing that. We don't impact your HOA rules and
restrictions.
And if they
say there's no business there and you have foster children, which get paid for, then you have no business, that trumps what the county says.
Truett, I think you're confusing unrelated people and foster children. Foster children are not considered unrelated people by the state and the federal government. We have nothing to do with that. That's been the law.
What are foster children?
You know, they're children.
They're children that maybe you can adopt or whatever, or you can have them for 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, and help them out and go ahead, right?
Sure.
But if somebody decides that, you know, they're going
to... Your government considers them to be the same as natural children. Mm-hmm. We're not making the rule. That's our state and federal government is telling us that. So the argument that four unrelated people just doesn't apply to that situation. Now there certainly are situations it would apply to, I grant you. And I think there are issues with group rentals that might need to be addressed for the concern that you have not necessarily in your manufactured home park, but over where you live in the country club.
Yeah, we have three or four serious problems in there and that we've asked the county. County does nothing. Vince has been involved. The county does nothing about it. It just continues on. And it's just a business going on there. So when you go in a HOA or you go in a manufactured home community, you have rules and regulations, you have restrictions mm-hmm. that are recorded in the county, and they're all approved by you guys, and they go to council when you approve it. And then they really don't mean anything. It can ruin the quality of life and your investment in there. I mean, it only takes five or six bad apples having just a ton of people in there. But let me get this straight. I must be way wrong. From what Martin Ross tells me, that this is just for the county. It has nothing to do with, in other words, this doesn't go over top of the HOA in Rehoboth Beach Yacht and Country Club. Is that true? That's why I like to hear that from the professional.
The county guidelines govern, you know, obviously they're the law of the county with regard to land use. I will say that just like restrictive covenants, they can be more restrictive, just like a manufactured housing park, you know, you can certainly be more restrictive. However, you cannot be discriminatory, and I'm not going to advise you or any homeowners association what they can or can't do with regard to fair housing. You need to talk to your own attorney about that.
Well, the way I see this going, if in other words, if the counties, what they put through, trumps the HOA, all the houses that are out there now, in Sussex County, 20,000 mobile homes with probably 40,000 people, the rest of them are upstate or in the middle of the state, this could really bring a different atmosphere in it. And if you have more people in there and the septics don't go, and this, like I said, I've got I got one that's over the minimum in the state law for a manufactured home is 400 square feet. That's really little. So I got a couple of them, and they're one bedroom, one bath. Look how many people they could pack in there, what they could do.
Are you having a problem with that now?
No, I'm not having a problem with that, but I'm talking about the guys that do have these parks that, like I used to be before 97 when the county sewer came in. I mean, I've been in this for years. I've watched every bit of it. And so I'm thinking about the whole county, what you're involved in when this goes through. Now, just because the federal government says, because of this VCA, thou shalt do this, you know, or we're going to do this, this, and this to you, we've got ourselves in a real mess in this county, I'd say. And now we're coming out with this. I mean, my county in Florida, where I lived 4 months, nothing like this. I mean, this isn't... That you might have it in Montgomery County over the Bay Bridge, some places like this, but this isn't across America. This is the tip of the ice. What we got here, this is the latest thing where somebody, when you get in trouble, they make you sign off on all this type of stuff. And that's what we're getting ourselves into here in Sussex County. That's the way I feel. And I see problems with traffic, parking, children's safety. I see the precedent that's set by that, which then could make businesses come in, you know, a hairdresser, anybody that wants to run a business in their home, I could see that this come in. In other words, when a precedent's set, well, what's the difference? We got, you know, we've got foster children here, and they're getting paid by the federal government, the state government. That, well, you know, I want to have a business in here. How can you turn them down? Because there's a business, there's money transfer. You know, or you'd be discriminating against the others. I mean, where does it start and stop? Where does it start? Where does it end? So, when you talk about your water, your sewer, just to give you an idea, my mobile home park, 40 acres and 148 lots. Sierra, which is almost a step baseball throw from me, 40 acres, 356 lots. My density is about 4 per acre. Theirs is about 9 per acre. Put in there way back. Now, look what they can put in there. And on those little streets and all that. Look at the effect this is going to have. You're not going to have the effect in Kings Creek Country Club or some parts of Rehoboth Beach out in Country Club. But other parts of that you will have an effect on. As the lower the homes are, it's going to become an effect. And the more people that come into this country... And then you take the disabilities, you're going to have, just like Route 9, peach tree. They got that peach tree thing up there. You're going to have just a peach tree down the street, whenever people want to do that, and they want to make money, and a government agency okays it. To me, that's not what we bought into when we bought into adult development with restrictions and that. And I can't believe that, because when I built my house, all my setbacks... the county had certain setbacks. The development had certain setbacks. One in the county was greater than that, so when I went to build the house, I had to have the greatest setback, whichever the greatest was, the homeowner or the county. So then it told me there that the county, what's on the books, trumps everything else.
No, I think you answered your question. It's whichever is the greatest, whichever is the more restrictive.
Yeah, but I just... Just it said that it doesn't affect us.
No, you can have a greater restriction. Your homeowners association can have a greater restriction than what the minimum setback is. What the attorney was saying was the homeowners association can't discriminate against classes of people.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right, but if you want to have in your development, if you want the setbacks to be 40 feet instead of 20 feet, you can do that through your covenants.
But there's one thing, it's classes of people, and the other one is numbers of people. A, B.
Well, the part about...
Classes of people and numbers. Well, the numbers is what brings you the problem.
You're renting, you can believe if you're renting, you can restrict.
You can.
You can restrict the number of people if you're renting.
As long as you do it uniformly. You can.
Right. As long as you apply that same rule to every instance, as long as it's evenly applied, the same rule for everyone, you can simply say that you're not going to allow more than four people. You don't even have to be related, unrelated, or whatever. As long as you tell everybody that.
In my manufactured home community, I got a rule and regulation, which there are rules and regulations that aren't recorded, and we promulgate them through the chapter 70. Mm-hmm. And so if I got somebody wants to come in, that, okay, I have, I say there's no more than four people in my lease. Now, I guess that's going to have to be pulled out. See, there's another problem.
I don't know if it'll have to be or not, and that's why you really need to talk to your own counsel, because you need to talk to someone who's going to evaluate it from your point of view.
Well,
we really can't do that.
Mr. Wheatley, these people that have gone over this and done this and spent hours on end doing this, they should have had some input from the public before.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
But I'm talking about before they came up with this, because I can see they haven't thought of a lot of things. Smaller mobile homes, this, that, and more density that's been approved. I mean, can you or can't you really see what I'm talking about, what that added density would mean if it hasn't?
I don't see the added density over and above what is allowable and what is happening all around us today. I think what we're simply doing is we're cleaning up some definitions. Number one, we're acknowledging that a manufactured home is a dwelling. I don't think that's too hard to understand. I mean, people.
Oh, I understand that. I don't have any complaint with that.
Yeah, it's a dwelling. And then instead of defining a family, we end up defining what the occupancy loads can be, which has to conform with the state and federal rules. So,
well, somebody's failed somewhere, because the numbers, would you agree that the numbers in a manufactured home community and the smaller homes in that, they should all be the same there, as in where they got the double wides, the triplexes?
Here's the thing. There's not that much of a difference when you look at the existing definition. I'll read you what the old definition of family was. It's an individual or two or more persons who are related by blood or marriage, living together and occupying a single housekeeping unit with single culinary facilities. So that's the two or more people, and that would include children, or a group of not more than four persons living together by joint agreement and occupying a single housekeeping unit. The first three of this new definition are pretty much the same as that, just spelled out more clearly, again, based on federal law, and it brings in natural children, foster children, stepchildren, and adopted children. Then we get into the group residential facility. And as I said, that's straight out of the Delaware Code. I mean, if you have a concern about that, you should be talking to Dover, not to county council, because that wording, essentially word for word, comes straight out of Title 22 of the Delaware Code, and the state's applied that to
And what, to is, what is that? Which one of these is that?
It's that would be the fourth one, a group residential facility licensed and approved by the appropriate state agencies, serving 10 or fewer persons with disabilities on a 24-hour per day basis.
So that's on everybody right now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, right, that's exactly right.
Well, I mean, if they have that, they haven't really thought. I mean, it can be, I'm surprised DENREC and all these state agencies, wouldn't have thought about this and what they do. I mean, when you have a case and when it comes up, then it costs you a lot of money to do this. And then what it is, you got to manufacture, I own my house, I own my home in Redwood Beach out in Country Club. Over here in the community, you've got a manufactured home. You got a $150,000 manufactured home, or you got an $80,000, or here's one over here that's worth $22,000. And then they bring all these people in. Now, if I can put it in my restrictions, just like keep mine like it is, that'll be fine. I thought this would go over top and trump what I have.
No, and that's no different than...
It doesn't, is that right?
If you have a set of restrictive covenants for development in Sussex County right now, we don't legislate a lot of things that can happen in a subdivision. The size of the houses, you can have greater setbacks than what county code requires. You can have height limits that are lower than what county code has in the restrictions. That's no different than what you or any other developer or homeowner association can do under this new ordinance. But I will tell you, you're going to need to talk to your attorney about anything that you do that it's neutral in its purpose and effect, so that it doesn't discriminate.
Anything that has to do with two things, as I see it, and that is foster children, which I could see numbers of those coming. And the other thing I see is the disability groups. I can see we'd have a problem with that, and it would be, it would really put pockets in your development or in your manufactured home community that could bring the value down and damage you, which basically what the law would be an indirect taking of land.
Well, I can tell you that federal and state law say that in Sussex County does not discriminate against people with disabilities, and you can't discriminate against people with disabilities in housing. And we have a state law that says it, and this just incorporates what's within state.
Well, I understand that, but to bring 10 in, that's my point. We just talked about numbers.
You can't bring 10 in. Unless, you can't bring 10 in unless it's a licensed group home. You can bring four in, unrelated.
Yeah.
You can bring four in, but you can't bring 10 in. You can only bring 10 if it's a licensed group home.
And who licensed those? The state?
State,
yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add to that, in my past life, I was an administrator with Child Protective Services, and we had a whole licensing unit that they inspected not only daycare homes but foster homes. And the number of children that were permitted in those homes were based on a number of factors, including bedrooms, size of the house, cooking facilities, as well as the capability of the folks to handle those children. The state also has a licensing division that handles the residential treatment centers, the small group homes. And again, all those are subject to, you know, based on the square footage, the nature of the problem, the staff that are there to oversee those individuals. So on a state level, there's a whole licensing division.
And on that one thing, they wouldn't allow that for the disabilities, right?
I think the problem you're worried about is that you're going to have 12 people living in a two-bedroom home.
And exactly.
I know. I understand that. Well, the issue regarding foster children and people with disabilities are that before the state allows foster children to be placed in a home, they go look at the home. The state is just not going to allow more children in a home than the home can support. They're just not going to let it happen. So I think the thing that you're afraid of would be something that would be occurring illegally, and you would probably have some recourse. In fact, I'm sure you would have some recourse in that instance. So.
And the other thing I related to Mr. Wheatley is this. The problem we have in the country club now, and we have meeting after meeting after meeting yearly, and the problem we have there, and Vince knows about it, nobody will touch it, with the renting to these seasonal people. And when you go by there, I mean, you've got 8 and 10 cars there, you got bicycles that shoot out in the street with backpacks on, and they're doing this for 4 months, and then on the other time, then there's other ones that are there in the off season, in the shoulder seasons. And it's a real mess. I mean, the people are really upset at all the meetings, and we have about 3 or 4 cases of that going on in there now. Well, we've asked for help from the county, but the county don't want to touch it.
I think your homeowners association could.
Oh, we've even hired a lawyer.
I think,
guess where the money of the homeowners association is going? Well, to the lawyers.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep, talking back and forth, and then we get, $10,000 bill, this, and you only got, $50,000-$60,000 in reserves. It gets to be, well, do you just let it go on or not? But see, that's why we have restrictions on that development, and the county should back us. They don't back us. And what that guy's running that does that, or that gal, that's a business. And then you're bringing a business in a community, and then when I say, get this approval there, what follows, the way everything that we're dealing with out of Washington, everything now, is what's precedent. When it's precedent, then it becomes, oh, that's there. Well, what's the difference between this business and this business? And the next thing you know, the county's got businesses all through residential developments, and they say, oh, how'd we get there? Might not be in your lifetime, might not be in mine, but my son that's 39 might be in his lifetime.
I'm 57, so I know it might happen in my lifetime.
Yeah, it could.
If it's going to happen in your son's lifetime, and he's 39.
Well, I'm 75, so I got news for you. I think it can happen, and I'm not, I'm looking at this thing. The other thing I'm thinking about is, what is going to be the cost for enforcement to the county in this? Who's going to come up with that? Who's going to when there's a complaint that you've got, you know, all these people in there and all that. The county don't enforce it now. They won't put any money into it. Who's going to enforce all this? Where's that going to come from?
That's probably a good question. You should direct to Mr. Cole. I think he's your councilman, right?
Well, I did address to George Cole, and you know what he told me?
What did he tell
you? He said he'd be here tonight, and after he heard this, he would make his statement.
Well.
Do you see him?
No.
He's watching it online.
It could be.
So that enforcement's another. Getting to the bottom line of the whole thing, and I understand how we've got it, but what I recommend be done, I recommend that everybody, manufactured home community in Sussex County, all the housing developments and everything, be grandfathered in. And this new definition go forward in all new things that aren't in the pipeline now, and then those people that buy there, invest their money there, they will know what they're getting. And if that cuts down the development and people don't, you know, want that and to go in that, so be it. The developers will have to.
We'll take that under advisement.
I mean, that's the way I think it should be. And it's just a crime and a shame that we got in this problem. It's a serious problem the county got into. I mean, God knows what, if we hadn't signed off on this, if Vince and the lawyers hadn't said, well, this is the best we can do, my God, I don't know how many million they would have gotten. But they got all this stuff tucked in. It was a get-out-of-jail-free card is what it was, just like when you're playing a game. That's what it was, by accepting this is part of it. All the things that's in this, 10-page, well, you've seen it because you go to the classes on it.
Seen it. I signed it.
You signed it with the one I saw. Vincent's the one signed it with the girl, the one I've got here.
I signed the one Uncle Sam's got.
Yeah. So because of that, and I guess laxity in the planning and zoning department over the years, we got ourselves into a real mess, and we're going to be top in the country or part of top in the country with coming under these definitions here. And it's really, over a period of time, it's not, I mean, I think if you grandfathered people in, you would say we did something, you know, it will satisfy what they have. We're going to grandfather it in for all new projects, I mean, for people that are here, so that the bargain we've gotten, and I just can't believe what you're telling me, that it means nothing to my manufactured home community. You know, I got a $20 million park. It means nothing to that, and I've worked all my life there, 40 years, putting septics in, doing it all. Hot sun, cold, snow, I've stayed with it 40 years. I don't know many people that stayed with it outside of the tunnels, for a few of them. But working in it, doing it, in my business, and then they can come in and bring the standard of, I think it'll bring the standard of living down in Silverview Farm, I really do. That's my opinion, and I think it's a bad deal. It's not just as simple as, oh, well, you know, it's something the state says, it's something the Department of Justice says out of Washington, Mr. Holder. It's not something that HUD says. I mean, it's just all this. We have to do this. And I'm sure that when you get into the unabridged copy, there's a word in there. Brandy showed me where it comes from. It's the impediments you've got to address? There's where it is.
We have to address what federal and state law says. I don't know how you expect the county to grandfather something that's in federal law. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't know.
I mean, these are the changes that we're going through, but this section right here, when you get right into this, here's where it all came out of. It says... Within 120 days, the effective date of this agreement, Sussex County shall review and evaluate 1998, 203, and 2001 analysis of impediments to determine what impediments were identified. If past impediments continue to exist and develop a proposed priority fair housing plan that will address the identified impediments, the plan shall be submitted to Delaware State Housing Authority and HUD for review and approval. Have they reviewed and have they both approved this?
We have been compliant with HUD and with the State Housing Authority, and there's been lots of correspondence back and forth under that consent decree. But there's other portions of that consent decree that govern this. So, I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole consent decree with you. You're welcome to attend.
But the real simple answer is yes. Hey, yes or no, without here and there. Have they agreed with what your language you've worked? You did this here in a group and all that. Have they put their blessing on this?
We've been doing it step by step, making the reports. You're welcome to the reports. I mean, we give them status updates. And
either they have or they have not.
I'm not going to get into the details of our compliance.
See, see my point?
Mr. Truitt, you know as well as I do that.
But it says they have to bless it.
That they're always going to hold something in reserve. That's the way they operate. So Mr. Robertson probably can't answer you yes or no. He can only tell you.
Well, if he's got it signed off, written off, if he doesn't, the answer's no.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that because they want to be able to come back and slap us later, okay?
So what they said there, you know, is where it has to be approved by those two things means absolutely nothing.
Well,
it's
no,
just legal record.
No, it's not.
And we're going to end the conversation because we've had a good discussion with HUD, and we've provided them with information, and they've commented back on it. And that's all public information if you want to see it. I mean, and there's volumes of documentation that's been shared back and forth. It's not a yes or no answer because they review what we say. They give comments. We either say we're going to comply or we're not going to comply based on legal advice that the county's getting. It's just not a simple yes or no answer. However, what is simpler than that is what does Delaware Code say or what does the United States Code say about what fair housing is? And I think that's where you're missing the point a little bit on the impediments versus what federal and state laws say. So,
well, the thing that you're leaving me with here is I'm walking away by my association over there telling them that, folks, you got to hire a lawyer. And Silverview Farm, Jim Truitt, president of Silverview Farm, you got to have a lawyer and see what his opinion is on this.
Mr. Truitt, you don't have to. You can go ahead and act on your own if you like and do and interpret it any way you want to and see what happens. See if anybody comes to see you. I mean, that's your other alternative. I mean,
Well, that's a bad way to do something. I mean,
I would tend to agree with
that's
that.
That's a bad way to do something. And when
we're
when
not
you,
telling we're not
I'm
telling you to
five
do.
Guy five gentlemen here. When you vote for this and you say we want to put it through, and if the county council puts it through, that's what it's putting us up to. That's what it's putting your children up to, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren.
Call your senator and your representative.
This is where we're going.
Call your senator and your representative and tell them
I called. I called Ruth Briggs King for the record.
Oh.
And guess what she said?
You got to go higher than that.
No problem. And no problem with it. This is so, you know. I mean, she sees the points, the same points I've made. But, you know, they're not going to stand on that. And it's just a shame when there's not one person that's got enough money to say, hey, I got a $1 million house here. And now it's gone down to $600,000, and nothing's happened in the economy, but can't sell it because of what we got next door.
Mr. Truitt, if that happened every time somebody stood there and said that to me, houses in Sussex County would be worth nothing by now. Because everything that happens here destroys the value of people's property, and I haven't seen it do anything but go up.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
And now
if
we've
been
finished
sleeping in the last 6 years, sir, guess what? The beach property went down 20%.
If that wasn't because of anything that happened here.
Oh, no, that was the economy.
Wasn't because of anything
we did. It's coming back up some.
Sure it is.
But it went down. I file it every day.
And it'll be back. But all that didn't happen for the reasons you're talking about. That happened because the entire economy and the entire company went to smithereens. Country went to smithereens. So I understand what you're saying. I appreciate it. And I'm going to ask you now, if you would, to just wrap it up. You've got about 1 minute.
All I do is ask the five of you to make this grandfathered in for the people that are here and have counted on the system that Sussex County's give us. And just keep in mind, gentlemen, Rehoboth Beach doesn't have it. Dewey Beach doesn't have it. Lewis doesn't have it. Milford doesn't have it. Greenwood doesn't have it. All the towns we have, guess what? If we pass it here, they're all going to have it, and it's going to be a mess in all those towns and everything. And if you vote for it and do it, you will be a part of it in your legacy. And if you're proud of it, So be it.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, okay then. All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions or comments? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.